Our second reading is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, reading from the fourth verse. This portion of Scripture will also serve as the basis for today's sermon. If anyone thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, in regard to zeal, persecuting the church, in regard to the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. But whatever things were a profit for me, these things I have come to consider a loss because of Christ. But even more than that, I consider everything to be a loss because of what is worth far more, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have lost all things and consider them rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own which comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God by faith. I do this so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in the hope that in some way I may arrive at the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus also took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, but there is one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and straining toward the things that are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider again the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I'll look at verses 7 through 11, especially today. I'll just draw your attention to portions of verse 8 at this moment. I consider everything to be a loss because of what is worth far more, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have lost all things and consider them rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. This is the word of our Lord, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what's this all for? Why are we here again? Why do we worship on extra services during Lent? Why is it so important to follow Jesus to his cross? Is it something that we just do to punish ourselves along with Jesus so that we might experience some measure of passion and suffering, even as we consider our Savior's passion for us? Does it help us focus ourselves on Jesus' word in our lives, especially during this season? Why do we do this? We do it because everything else is a loss. At a time when the stock market plummets, all you hear about are profits and losses. Paul speaks that way in our text to us today too. But it's the opposite of what you would expect. The more you have, Paul tells us, the more you've lost. But when you have nothing except Christ, then you see that you have everything. Whenever you try to add just one thing to him, though, then you lose it all. So we focus today, yet again, on nothing but Christ. And so that we see that when we have him, we have everything. Particularly two things that we consider today that Paul tells us about. We have his righteousness, and we have his resurrection. The Apostle Paul was under arrest at this time. It's nevertheless yet known as his letter of joy. But how could he be so joyful when he's under arrest? How could he be so joyful when it appears that he's lost everything? Well, Paul begins to consider all the things that he had in his favor before this came about. You know, before he became known as Paul, when he was still Saul. He was popular. He was powerful. He was loved and respected by his peers, by all those in positions of authority. He tells us, if anyone else thinks that he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. In regard to zeal, persecuting the church. In regard to the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. What a resume Paul had. Think of all those things that were in his favor. He followed the laws of the Jewish nation to a T, even before he was able to make any decisions for himself. He was circumcised, and not just to mark him as a child of that nation of Israel, but on the eighth day, according to the law, not only was he a devout Jew, but he came from families of devout Jews, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and from the tribe of Benjamin. Yes, you remember Benjamin, the youngest of Jacob's 12 sons, the most loved son after Joseph was thought to be dead, the only one who's surviving from his dearest true wife, Rachel, the tribe of Benjamin. To the law for Saul. He wasn't just a keeper of the law. He was a Pharisee. Now, you have an idea of what that means for you. That means they were the bad people who rejected Jesus, who wanted to put him to death. But that wasn't the reputation of Pharisees in Jesus' day. It was just the opposite. If you were a Pharisee, you were among the best of the best. That was Saul. Not just good, he was considered perfect. He could do no wrong. He followed extra rules. You might think of someone today whose higher holiness, perhaps a pastor's child who comes from generations of Christians or a third or fourth generation member of the church who regularly worships faithfully. Model citizens. That's what people thought of those Pharisees. Zealous for the rules of God. To the point that he didn't even think he was guilty of murder. When he oversaw the death and persecution of Christians, he thought killing Christians was helping God. And think of the high level that he had just as a young man, that they were looking for his approval at the death of Stephen. That's who Saul was. That was his pedigree, his resume, as they considered what a righteous person he was. Blameless. That's a standard that we all strive for, but we know so well none of us can ever achieve. But what does Paul say about all of this? It was garbage. It was a loss. The more he tried to add, the less he actually had. The more he subtracted. Whatever things were a profit for me, these things I have come to consider a loss because of Christ. All of our works, our resume and our accolades, all the obedience to God's law, our loss, are worthless. They are trash. Whenever we trust these things for ourselves, I come to worship extra during Lent. I put all of God's rules first in my life and try to follow them rightly. Everything that I've accomplished, everything that I've done, when we try to add them to Christ, we lose it all. Why? Because no matter how good they are, they fall short of the glory that God demands. Righteousness is not just good efforts and coming close. Righteousness is without sin. Righteousness is perfectly following God's laws in every way, not just in deed, but in heart, in mind, always. So that the law shows me just how far I've fallen from righteousness. So Paul said, when I have all of this, I have nothing. But when all of my righteousnesses are found to leave me naked and destitute, empty, without hope, that's when I have everything. Because I don't have a righteousness that is my own, that is found by following the law. I have a righteousness that comes from God. His righteousness, His perfection as a gift to me. Only when I despair in myself. But perhaps it's not so much the deeds, my own righteousness that I'm trying to hold on to. Perhaps it's other treasures in my life too. The house and the family, the business and the pension, the vacation home and the boat, and all those treasures that are in my heart, things that I've worked so hard for, I've spent a lifetime trying to accumulate. These are my accomplishments. And I've poured my life into them. So of course they're treasures to me. Paul says about all those things, those are trash too, rubbish, all of it. I can throw it in the garbage can, all of it, because I can cling only to Christ and Christ alone. I consider everything to be a loss because of what is worth far more, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. All those things that I've worked so hard for, that I've strived for to accumulate for myself, these things don't control me. I don't work for these things. I don't live for these things. I know Jesus. And when I know Him, all of those things are only losses, distractions, detractions from what is most precious, the knowledge of and faith in my Savior Jesus Christ, His righteousness. So that Paul says, for His sake I have lost all things and consider them rubbish so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own which comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God by faith. Do you see? Do you understand what you have when you have nothing but Christ? It's not a righteousness that's earned, but it's the greatest righteousness that can be gained, one that comes through faith in Christ. Yes, it's a righteousness from God, not just for God, but actually comes from Him. That means it's truly right. A gift which makes everything else a loss. So let's turn and consider those things that we value and love to hang on to so much. The house and the boat, the car and the account, the pension and the business, the reputation and the name, the family, the heritage, the tradition, the legacy. Yes, even life itself. This body, these legs, these eyes and ears. Yes, this mind and this heart. It's all going to stop. It's going to come to an end. It's going to pass away, all of it, all the things in this life, and yes, even this life itself, it passes away. And we have nothing, nothing there in the casket with us, nothing there in the grave. But look at what Paul says he has. Look at what's there in that grave. Look at what he has when he has nothing. He has everything. I do this so that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You see that, friends? Even in Lent, in this journey to the cross, we know the fellowship that we have in Christ's sufferings. We are joined to Him as we suffer with Him in this life. As we crucify that flesh, we put down those desires and those strivings and those strainings for all of those things that are worth nothing in this life. We throw them all away so that we may cling to Christ alone. We crucify that flesh so that we have fellowship with Christ's sufferings. And what comes after suffering? It's the empty tomb. Even in this season of Lent, we look past the grave to Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Do not forget that end, dear friends, when everything else is gone. All those things, even life itself. Look at what is left with Christ. The power of his resurrection. He lives. That means I will live too. He rose. That means I will rise too. In the hope that in some way I may arrive at the resurrection from the dead. Now that almost sounds like Paul's uncertain about it. Perhaps, maybe, I might achieve that resurrection, but there's no uncertainty about the resurrection. The only uncertainty is the manner and the date when that death will come. Somehow I will die. When that day comes, this is what I have, his resurrection. Look at the hope that we have in Christ. This word that Paul uses for resurrection the second time, it has a special prefix added to it. It's a compound word that puts an emphasis on this gift that we have from Christ. A resurrection up out of, ex anastasia, up out of something. What have we left behind? What have we come out of? We've come out of death, thoroughly leaving behind everything in this world, including this world of death itself. We are out of that to enter into life, fullness of life, eternal life. Jesus is everything, and everything else is nothing. That's why we do this. That's why we're here this morning. Because whenever we try to add just one little thing to Jesus, we find that we've lost it all and we have nothing. But when we see Jesus and nothing else, we see that we have gained everything. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me these two great things. Your righteousness, which truly counts for everything. And your resurrection, which gives me life even beyond the grave. Lord, help me crucify my flesh, that I might not cling to the transient things of this world, which are junk, even life itself. Instead, Lord, help me to set my heart thoroughly, fully, perfectly on you and you alone, a true, a genuine, irreplaceable treasure, that I might hope and continue to hope and look forward to attaining that resurrection, your resurrection, out of this death into eternal life. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.